Well, I think it's obvious with the songs that Ben chose that our focus this morning is on this section of the Apostles' Creed. On the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. What a wonderful thing it is for us to be able to focus on Jesus. I know some people say, oh, I've got a spiritual awareness and I believe in God, but the focus, friends, for us is what do you make of Jesus? That's the key. What do we as Christians make of Jesus? Because that's what Christian faith revolves around. And that's what it is today. Powerful, and I want to say Jesus' call. We've just sung that song. All to Jesus I surrender. I get so disappointed when churches wishy-washy stuff. And when we say, all welcome, and we know everyone is welcome, and Jesus holds his arms out. But friends, it's a welcome to discipleship. It's a welcome to sacrifice and service and obedience and self-denial. It's a welcome to follow him, not to just clap our hands and jump up and down. Yesterday morning, I was just making sure I had things ready for today and pressed the button on the computer, which is rare, and up came the Australian Prayer Network. And I was interested that for tomorrow's prayer, the start of the campaigning, it had, pray for the mighty move of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction of our personal sin as Australians and our corporate sin as a nation, resulting in much needed awareness that as a nation we have turned away from Almighty God. And I thought, twice in the Apostles' Creed we've got Almighty God, and that's the challenge to come back. And then I opened my Bible and out fell a little bookmark that says, we have an Almighty Father in heaven. So friends, if the Apostles' Creed does something special, it reminds us that we have an Almighty God. Not like other gods. He is almighty and above all other gods. So, who do we have? Well, we have the one who is, just as a bit of a review, the one who is almighty, the creator. We have Jesus the Son, miraculous birth. This is the God in whom we believe. And let's not be put off by some of the wishy-washy undermining of Jesus, because to me that just is very, very sad. So the message of Easter, we need to challenge or think about. Is it true that Jesus was raised from the dead? Is it false? Is it unique, provable, disputed? Well, we've got all of those quotes in there from Acts. So, over afternoon tea, have a check through and see. But then David read to us that great section from 1 Corinthians. These people witnessed, these people saw, these people touched, these people know. Poor old Thomas. He wasn't in the right spot at the right time. I find it sad that some people are in the wrong spot. If he hadn't been doing whatever he was doing, he could have straight away known that this was Jesus. But Jesus, in his gracious way, says, Thomas, you missed the first time, but you've got it the second time. Touch, see, feel. And so I say today, friends, third day, he rose from the dead. If you're not sure about that, have a reread of 1 Corinthians 15 and have a look at what it says. But the end of the section that was read to us said, depending on your translation, if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, we are idiots. Because we're believing something that isn't true. And we're living in a way that's ridiculous. So, friends, please make sure that we believe and that we know that Jesus rose from the dead. David said, being a Christian works, and the resurrection that I've got there is the church as a positive testimony through thick and through thin, through martyrdom, through battles, through all sorts of things, the church has stood fast. Friends, we are part of that wonderful church. It's exciting to be part of the church. I know the church has done stupid things, and I know it's guilty of all sorts of embarrassing things, but we're part of the church. We're part of the church. And isn't that great? That we're part of an institution that's gone through thick and thin, and God still loves us. How amazing. Then he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And again, we've got some quotes there. But the theories of the day, and remember please that this creed was set against some of the theories that were so wrong. And this is set against those people who said, well, God is only spirit, nothing to do with the body. Let's not worry about the body. It's only spirit. And Jesus came to liberate the spirit. That I've got there was the thought of the day. But the early church said, no, no, no. Jesus is incarnation, suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, emphasizes the body. He is the total being. Jesus is the total being. And I've got there, the Son of God did not reject human nature or exalt himself above it, but united himself with our nature in order to unite us to God. How wonderful that we are united with God. And we are forgiven. We are forgiven. I've used this illustration before, but it just keeps coming back to me all the time about what we heard read in an Anglican church over in Venice, just the one time we've been overseas. And it was read to us in an Anglican church by the Bishop of Gibraltar. And he had been teaching a class, and he sent this letter to this little church where we happened to be. And it was a question he posed to the class, which said, we know where Jesus was on Good Friday, we know where Jesus was on Easter Sunday, but where was he on the Saturday? Now, we might have all sorts of theories about where he was on Easter Saturday. And one of the answers came from a girl who said, he was down in darkest hell looking for his dearest friend, Judas. It's an interesting thought, isn't it, about the love of God? How deep will the love of God go? Friends, how deep will the love of God go for us? As deep as it has to. And now, what is he doing? Where is he now? Well, he's at the right hand of the Father. In Psalm 101, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool. So, Jesus is where? Let's overcome some of our Sunday school teaching, because Jesus can't be in everyone at the same time, because he's man. He's resurrected as a man, body and spirit. So it's the spirit of Jesus that he sent from the Father who dwells within each one of us. How wonderful the Spirit of the living God in us. But Jesus is in heaven doing other things for us, which is wonderful, and reminding us that all things are now subject to his authority. His authority over creation, and especially where believers meet, he promises to be present. He's at the right hand of God with angels, authorities and powers made subject, and in him all things are united. How amazing. And Jesus is seated, his work on earth is completed. Yes, but now he prays for us. How on earth does that work? I've no idea, and I'm not going to try to think. But how does Jesus intercede for us in heaven? It's almost as if when we pray and we're saying, oh, I don't know what I'm thinking about this, and we're praying, something from the Spirit of God is going to Jesus and then to the Father. I just love that chain from me, Spirit, Jesus, to the Father. And it all goes through Jesus who intercedes for me. It's as if my prayer might leave at a minus two and it gets to him at a plus 10. It's just translated or transformed. But this is what he's doing, interceding. He's now rest or quiet at the right hand of God, joy after the sorrow that he had. A place of supreme honour. Ah, oh, let's not bring him down to boyfriend songs. You know, just someone told me this week that they'd been to a church. When they came home, they thought, I could have sung that song to my wife or to my husband. You know, darling wishy-washy. It's Jesus. This is the Lord we worship. The God of heaven and of earth, not Mickey Mouse, not some little wishy-washy. This is the Lord of heaven and of earth, the place of supreme honour given to him by God Almighty. This is our God. This is the God. And how wonderful. He is no longer under judgment, but he will come as the judge. He is no longer under the judgment of the world, but he is now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We pray, don't we? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Sometimes it's come, Lord Jesus, come, but could you just wait until the members of the family are all believers? Or could you just wait for my neighbour? But we do pray. And he will come. Often we think that judgment is discriminatory, separating right, wrong, good, bad, yes. And last year we looked at the minor prophets, and every minor prophet had the challenge of the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord is coming. Friends, we are Christians with an ethical religion. That means we do have 10 commandments. We do have a sense of right and wrong. We do have the Lord's direction of what is right, what is wrong. Loving God and loving our neighbour. So people have had the challenge, or have the challenge, as Romans says. It's been placed in people's hearts and minds, something of God. So I've got there, the light has come into the world, and that's the judgment. So, we could all sit here and shut our eyes and go, oh, isn't it dark? Isn't it dark? And some people do that in relation to God. The light has come, but in a sense they've shut their eyes and said, oh, I don't see anything. No, I don't see anything. And other people have opened their eyes and say, oh, isn't this wonderful? God's love shown to me. So, here is the judgment. At one level, people have made a choice. And the grace of God is a divider. that here God offers. Now, this is, of course, why we have mission, why people go to tell people about Jesus, because they might have a revelation of creation, they might know there's a creator, but they need the next dimension that actually this fits into place with Jesus, and this comes into that situation. We're also aware of the weeds and the wheat, the separation there, the good news of the gospel. For some people, it's bad news. They don't really want to hear. How wonderful it is, though, that God in his judgment and his coming takes the intention of our heart. Yet there might be lots of things that have gone through the shredder, but God takes the intention of our heart. And isn't it lovely that when Jesus comes, he'll sort of stand here and I'll stand behind, and in relation to God, it's Jesus God looks at, not me. And he just says, yep, Colin, you're in Jesus, and so you're safe because of your faith in him. So friends, judgment, I don't believe, is something to be afraid of. Nor is God divided. Some people think in the Old Testament he's a judge, in the New Testament, oh, it's all love. And we in the Christian church need to be careful of that. We need to make sure that we don't play on the love of God and just say, oh, I can do what I please. No, because if we do as we please now, there is a consequence anyhow in the way we're living. And we need to be very careful about that. Oh, when God comes, he'll forgive me, that's all right. Well, yes, if I've given my life to Jesus, da-da-da. But at the same time, we need to realise that if we're not living as God wants us to live, we're in strife and we're missing out on his blessing. So we need to be careful. But it is the God who is the God of grace and truth who will come. And he'll come to judge the living and the dead. So those who are living now, maybe us, if he comes in the next 5 minutes. Or those who are dead, who will be raised. And won't. We just can't imagine what that would be like. We can't imagine the sea giving up its dead. We can't imagine what it will be like with the cemetery down here on Brighton Road. What will that be like? Boom! And what will Centennial Park be like? Boom! Just incredible. Incredible when the dead in Christ are raised. Ah, fantastic. Some people say because God is a God of love, no one will be condemned, that it will be a universal salvation. And in a minute we're going to sing At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow. And some people say, every knee will bow. And so everyone will be saved. Well, I don't think Scripture gives us that assurance. What Scripture says is there is a judgment, or there is a death and then a judgment, and we need to be careful. I've got there, then we will, when it comes, we will then see ourselves as loved. At the moment, yes, we know we're loved by God. But when Jesus comes, we will be loved in a different way and we will know things in a very different way. So, the focus, friends, is Jesus, risen from the dead, ascended in heaven and coming again. How wonderful, how wonderful. And we, the church, the believers, the church, we are part of this incredible part of history. Fantastic. Please stand as we affirm together the Apostles' Creed, our belief in the living God. We have that on the screen, please, Thomas. Thank you. Now, if we believe this, let's say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Stay standing as we sing this great hymn, At the Name of Jesus, and the last verse reminds us of his return.